And so I bid you all grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. My brothers and sisters in Christ, how often would I have gathered your children together? Jesus wanted nothing more than to gather all of God's people, Israel, to himself as their Savior. Indeed, he wanted and even now wants all men and women as his own. This is what he was sent for. This is what he delights in. That people come to him. That people receive him and receive his grace, receive his mercy, his love, his life. And yet, many people do not. And that's the sadness, that's the pain that's at the heart of our gospel readings, and it is in all the other readings this morning as well. The pain that despite God sending warnings and promises and messages of grace, despite even sending his own son, despite all that, there are people who, as St. Paul put it, make their bellies their God, who are enemies to the cross of Christ, and who miss the kingdom as it comes to them. But let's back up a moment. The gospel reading began with the Pharisees warning Jesus that Herod was out to kill him. Now, we don't need to bother ourselves with whether or not this was a credible threat. Herod had already killed John the Baptist, after all. But it's interesting to note that the Pharisees tell Jesus that Herod is after him in order to see whether or not they can get Jesus to move along, get him to get out of the territory. And they tell Jesus this right after he had proclaimed that in God's kingdom, some who appear first will end up last. And others who, to this world's eye, seem lost and least will end up first. God does not judge as we do. He judges the heart. And the Pharisees didn't like hearing that. They wanted a judgment that was based on deeds, something that was evident to everyone. They wanted a rule that they could use to establish everyone's ranking in the world. And when Jesus upset their nice system, they didn't like it. In some respects, they were like those who didn't want to hear Jeremiah's warnings against Jerusalem. Those people, they didn't stop to ask whether or not it was true that Jerusalem deserved judgment because of its faithless idolatry. They simply exclaimed, "How dare you say such things?" They refused the call to repent, to mend their ways. And they preferred instead to be angry at the messenger. And so too with Jesus. The Pharisees refused to examine whether or not their moral system of rewards and punishments based upon deeds actually agreed with God's work of mercy and grace. And so when Jesus came proclaiming that salvation was by grace through the work of another, the Pharisees simply cried out, "How dare you say such things?" And they threatened Jesus. "Herod wants to kill you. He wants you dead." But you'll notice Jesus was unfazed. He had his work ahead of him. He was sent to do the work of the kingdom. He was sent to cast out demons, to cure disease, to bring the word of repentance and forgiveness to a world that was lost in darkness and death and sin. He was come to make ready a people who would be called citizens of heaven, not of this world. A people who would turn away from idolizing the things of this world, things that give them ease, things that comfort the belly. A people who would instead wait for that glorious day when this lowly body is finally transformed to be like Christ's glorious body. Nothing was going to stop Jesus from his work. For finally, his work was not about some grand remodeling. He wasn't come simply to fix things up or to turn us around and make us fly right. He was come to gather and to save. I know I've shared this with you before about that image of the hen gathering her brood under her wings. It's something that I once saw only with the eyes of a kid raised in the suburbs, but you'll remember years ago I heard a pastor talking about this pastor who had actually grown up on a farm in Kansas. Now again, the image occurred to me, it was just kind of a warm fuzzy thing, right? Mom gathers the kids next to her to keep them warm, and that's true as far as it goes, but it's not the whole story. The whole story is made plain when a chicken hawk is flying above. Now like all predators, hawks are lazy. They don't want to spend any more energy on a kill than they have to. So when flying over the chicken yard, it's not the big fat hen that the hawks are wanting, however fine a meal she might be. It's the chicks that they want. A simple swoop and a grab, it's all over. So when the hawk appears, what happens? The hens will frantically gather their chicks under their wings to shield them from the hawk, out of sight under their wings. The chicks are now off the hawk's menu, but that hawk is still hungry. And so what's the next target? Now it's the hen herself. Jesus' desire to gather his people was not a desire to turn them around or make of them a kingdom that would rival anything Herod wanted to establish. Jesus desired to gather his people in order to protect them and to save them from the hawk, to offer himself in their place, to give himself to the destroyer so that they could go free. That is the great work that he is sent for. No threat from Herod, no animosity from the Pharisees was going to stop him. He was going to go to Jerusalem, and there he would meet the enemy head on, and there he would die. And yet some would not take shelter. Some refused to be gathered. And again, that's the great sadness. That's the great mystery of this world. Jesus has come to love. He has come to save. The enemy, death and the devil, circles overhead, ready to strike, yet some people, even many, refuse shelter under Jesus' wings. They can't let themselves be bothered. Herod, for instance, wanted a kingdom of this world, and he didn't want another troublemaker like John around, some two-bit preacher exposing all of his sins. The Pharisees wanted their righteousness according to the law, no matter that it was all smoke and mirrors. The people of Jerusalem wanted glory and power. Some otherworldly kingdom based upon grace and forgiveness and humility and sacrifice wasn't on their radar. And Jesus said, "How often I would have gathered your children together, but you would not." It is a mystery. And yet Jesus will not force anyone to be saved. He comes to us in his church. He comes to us with the word of the gospel, with the sacraments. He comes to us without a great show of terrible signs. He comes and he calls us to life, but he doesn't force anyone. He lets himself be resisted. And yet his work isn't finally about what he lets others do, those who reject him. His work is about you. It's about us. For he's come to cover you. He's come to cover us all. He's come so that we might find shelter in him and be saved from the terrible beak and talons of sin and death as the devil seeks to destroy us. We simply, once again, need to confess the danger that we are in. Confess and acknowledge our sin. We must not be like the people of Jerusalem who complained against Jeremiah. Jeremiah spoke the truth. You are idolaters. There will be judgment. Jerusalem will be desolate. Mend your ways. They refused to hear the truth. How dare he say such things? And you and I, we risk that ourselves. No one likes hearing her or his sin spoken about. To be told that you are in sin when you coldly ignore God's word. To be told that you are in sin when you place 100 things ahead of God in your life. To be told that you are in sin when you are holding a grudge, or when you seek to get even, or when you look down on others. To be told that you are plain wrong when you hold a false notion about God or about salvation, the church or scripture. No one likes hearing that stuff. We all chafe a bit. We're tempted to blame the messenger. He has no right to talk to me like that. But let us drop the posturing and the pretense. The hawk is in the sky looking for an easy meal. Jesus beckons you. Come, seek shelter. Let him cover your sin. Examine the scriptures if you think that you are in the right, and let them show you the truth. Mend your thoughts, your ways, your days, and hear God. Follow his voice. Receive his life. Receive his grace. Seek shelter here under Christ's wings, in his church, under his sacrifice for you. He gave himself to death so that you would have life. He let himself be taken, the guiltless for the guilty, so that you would have an inheritance in heaven. He has come for you so that you would be made a citizen of heaven even now. So cry out to him with joy. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, and find life under his wings, in his word, in his promise, and in his sacraments. Even so, amen. And now may that peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus until the glorious day of his appearing. Amen.